MyAudiobooks.ai presents The Plastic We Couldn't See. A new microscope just changed the human body count.
In a laboratory notebook published this month in the journal ACS Nano, there is a number that should rearrange how you think about every headline you have ever read concerning plastic in the human body. The number is 0.4 micrometers. 4/10,000ths of a millimeter, roughly 200 times thinner than a human hair. It is the size of the plastic particles that a team of researchers has just learned to see embedded inside intact human tissue for the first time. And the reason it matters is this. Every study you have ever encountered about how much plastic is inside you, in your blood, your lungs, your arteries, the placentas of unborn children, the brains of the recently deceased, was conducted with instruments that could not see particles that small.
The headline numbers were real. They were also, by construction, undercounts. We have been measuring the plastic in the human body with nets that let the smallest fish straight through. The new method, described in the journal's September 2026 issue, is an elegant piece of chemistry with an inelegant name: hydrogel-based tissue transformation combined with optical clearing. In plain language, the researchers take a piece of biological tissue, in their demonstration, human placental tissue, and instead of slicing it into ribbons thin enough to shine light through, which is how microscopes have worked for two centuries, they chemically convert the tissue itself into a transparent gel. The biological matter that would scatter and block the light is washed away or made invisible. The plastic particles, which are not biological, stay exactly where they were, suspended in the clear gel like seeds in glass.
Then the team floods the gel with a fluorescent dye that sticks to plastic and images the entire volume in three dimensions. Nothing is sliced. Nothing is lost to the knife. Everything that was in the tissue is still in the picture, including the particles that were always there and never visible.
To see why the previous map stopped where it did, you have to know how the old measurements were made, because the method was the limit. The workhorse techniques of the first microplastic era were spectroscopy and mass analysis. Shine infrared light at a sample and read the chemical fingerprint of what bounces back, or burn the sample and weigh the molecular fragments. Both are superb for confirming that plastic is present and identifying which plastic it is. Both have flaws. The spectroscopic methods lose particles as they shrink toward and below a micrometer. The signal from a particle that small simply drowns. The burn and weigh methods capture total plastic mass but destroy the particles in the process. So they can tell you how much plastic by weight, but not how many particles, not what sizes, and not where in the tissue they were lodged. And it is the sizes and the locations, not the total weight, that decide which biological borders get crossed. The result was a field that could prove presence and measure mass while being structurally blind to the size class that matters most for the body's border crossings. The hydrogel method's entire point is that it keeps the architecture, every particle, in place, countable, locatable, down to 4/10,000ths of a millimeter.
What they found is the part that should hold your attention. The particle population they resolved was dominated by the submicrometer fraction. The fraction below 1 micrometer, the size class that previous methods structurally could not detect. The team validated the approach down to about 0.4 micrometers, suppressed false positives from the body's own fatty structures with an enzymatic digestion step, and cross-checked plastic against look-alike biological material using fluorescence lifetime signatures. This is not a claim that plastic suddenly appeared in human tissue, nor a claim that the tissue samples studied are unusual. It is the demonstration that the plastic was always there, at sizes the field could not see, in numbers the field could not count.
The map of plastic inside the human body, drawn over the last 5 years with great fanfare, was a map of the territory above 1 micrometer. Below that line, the map simply said, "Here be nothing," because the mapmakers could not look. Nothing measured is not nothing there. This is a story about a measurement, and it belongs to a family of stories this publication keeps returning to, because the pattern is one of the deepest in science. What you find depends on what your instrument can see, and the instrument always has an edge. The telescope found only the planets it could resolve. The microscope found only the microbes it could magnify. The early tests for a virus found only the cases they were designed to catch. The microplastic crisis, such as it is, has been narrated so far entirely above the visibility line. The ACS nanopaper is the moment the line itself moved, and the first look below it says the water down there is not empty. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library. To appreciate what the line looked like before it moved, it helps to know what the map already showed, because the findings above 1 micrometer were already unsettling enough. In 2024, a landmark study in the New England Journal of Medicine reported microplastics and nanoplastics embedded in the fatty plaques of human carotid arteries, and found that patients whose plaques contained plastic went on to suffer heart attacks, strokes, and death at several times the rate of those whose plaques were clean. In 2025, a study in Nature Medicine examined human brains from autopsies and reported measurable quantities of plastic in the organ itself, quantities that were higher in the more recent samples than in samples from years earlier, a rising line in the tissue of the brain. Plastic has been found in human blood, in lungs, in liver, in the meconium of newborns, and in the placenta, the organ whose entire evolutionary purpose is to be a filter between a mother and the child she is building. Every one of those findings was made with instruments that could see only part of the size spectrum. Every one of those numbers was, like the old map of the planets, a census of the visible. The scale of what is being measured defies ordinary intuition, so it is worth building the intuition carefully. A micrometer is a millionth of a meter. The microplastics in the classic findings run from 1 micrometer up to a few millimeters, visible to good microscopes, catchable by filters, countable by spectroscopy. Below 1 micrometer begins the nanoplastic realm, and the numbers change character. Where a water sample might contain thousands of microplastic particles, the same sample can contain billions of nanoplastic ones, because particle counts explode as sizes shrink. 1 grain of plastic sand ground to nanoplastic dust becomes more individual particles than there are people on Earth. The total weight of the nanoplastic fraction in your body may be trivial. The total surface area is not, because toxicity often tracks surface area, the interface where a particle meets a cell. And surface area, like particle count, explodes as size shrinks. The smallest particles are also the most mobile. They are the ones that can plausibly cross the gut wall into blood, cross the placenta into the fetal compartment, and cross the blood-brain barrier, the border fence that evolution spent hundreds of millions of years fortifying. Size is not a detail in this story. Size is the story. How does it get inside in the first place? Through the 3 great conduits of modern life. Through water, bottled and tap alike, with bottled water consistently measuring higher, a single liter carrying counts in the tens to hundreds of thousands of particles, most of them in the sub-micrometer range the old counts missed. Through food, not just seafood, though the ocean concentrates plastic relentlessly, but salt, sugar, beer, honey, fruit, vegetables grown in plastic-mulched soil, and anything packaged, wrapped, or processed in contact with the material world. And through air. Synthetic textiles shed fibers with every wash and every wear. Tire rubber abrades off every road on Earth and becomes airborne. City dust is measurably part plastic. And the average person breathing an average city takes in a daily ration with every breath. There is no lifestyle that avoids this. The exposure is not a habit, it is the substrate. The plastic century built its material into the water supply, the food supply, and the air supply. And the question the instruments are now answering is simply how much of that construction we carry. What does the plastic do once it is inside? Here, the honest answer splits into what is demonstrated, what is suggested, and what is simply not known. Demonstrated, mostly in cell cultures and rodents, nanoplastics can be taken up by cells, can trigger inflammatory signaling, can generate oxidative stress, and can carry absorbed chemical passengers, plasticizers, flame retardants, industrial additives, across membranes those chemicals might not cross alone. Suggested, by association studies in humans, links between plastic burden and cardiovascular events, between inhaled plastic and respiratory disease, between environmental plastic exposure and metabolic effects. Not known, and this is the largest gap in the entire field, dose. There is no established dose versus harm curve for plastic in humans. No answer to how much plastic, of what size, over what time, produces what harm. Toxicology's oldest principle is that the dose makes the poison. And for plastic in human tissue, we do not yet know the dose, the poison, or whether there is a threshold below which the body simply tolerates the load, the way it tolerates the dust of the world. Closely watched alongside dose is bioaccumulation, the buildup of a substance in tissue faster than the body can clear it. For the larger particles, clearance looks plausible. The gut and the lungs are self-cleaning systems, within limits. For the nanoplastic fraction now being counted, clearance is an open question. A particle small enough to enter a cell may also be small enough to stay. And whether the body ever fully empties its plastic load is a question the new measurements have made unavoidable. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to this story and thousands of others that explore the hidden science and mechanics behind the headlines. The brain question deserves its own paragraph, because it is where public fear and scientific uncertainty collide hardest. A review published September 8th in Neuroscience and Biobehavioral Reviews, 3 days before this article was written, assembled the evidence on microplastics, nanoplastics, the brain, and behavior across every available method: cell cultures, animal models, human biomonitoring, and brain organoids, the lab-grown miniature brain tissues that have become the field's newest window. The review's conclusion is measured and worth quoting in spirit. The evidence that plastic reaches neural tissue is now substantial. The evidence about what it does there is early, mixed, and urgent to resolve. And clarifying how these particles affect neural systems and how to prevent or reverse those effects will be crucial for safeguarding brain health in an increasingly plastic-contaminated world. Note the careful architecture of that sentence. Reaches the brain? Established. Harms the brain? Unresolved. The gap between those two clauses is where the next decade of this science will live. The association studies cannot show causation. People with more plastic in their arteries may differ from people with less in 100 unmeasured ways: smoking, poverty, occupation, geography, and the plastic may be a passenger of those differences rather than the driver. Measurement hysteria has a track record too. Every new instrument in environmental history has produced a wave of alarm that later calibration moderated. from pesticide residues to radiation to lead. And the single most important number in the entire discussion, the actual human exposure response relationship, does not exist yet, which means every confident sentence in either direction is running ahead of the data. The plastic is real. The panic, the calm scientists say, is a prediction, pretending to be a finding.
The strongest case for concern is the one the new measurement just strengthened. Every previous instrument said the problem was smaller than it is because every previous instrument had a floor, and the floor was above the particles that matter most for crossing biological borders. The hydrogel method is not a scare. It is a census correction, and censuses have a way of changing policy once the count is believed. And the placental tissue in the demonstration was not chosen at random. The placenta is the last border, the filter between one generation and the next. And finding the sub-micrometer fraction dominant there is the kind of fact that rewrites regulatory priors, whether or not the toxicology is finished.
One more gap completes the picture, and it is the gap between the laboratory and the law. No government on Earth currently sets a safety standard for plastic particles in drinking water, food, or air, because no government has a validated method for counting the particles that the new paper just supplied. Regulation requires measurement, and the measurement did not exist. The agencies are not asleep. They are instrument limited, the same as the scientists were, and several have active programs now racing to standardize methods so that standards can follow. The sequence matters for everyone watching. First the instrument, then the census, then the dose response, then the standard. We are between the first and second steps.
The last time environmental health went through this sequence at this scale was lead. Decades of measuring with instruments too blunt to see the low-level harm, followed by a rapid, lurching policy correction once the better numbers arrived. The plastic sequence is moving faster, but it is the same sequence.
Three findings would disprove this article's frame, or settle it, and the first two are already in motion. First, replication with quantification. If independent labs applying hydrogel-style methods to larger and more varied human tissue samples confirm that the submicrometer fraction dominates everywhere, blood, brain, lung, placenta, then every previous exposure estimate is formally obsolete, and the field resets its baseline upwards, possibly by orders of magnitude in particle count.
Second, the dose response work, the mapping of exposure level to harm. If the first credible human dose response curves show harm beginning at burdens real people actually carry, the conversation changes from whether to act to how fast. If instead the curves show wide tolerance margins, the concern chapter closes like many scares before it.
Third, the barrier studies. If mechanistic work proves that nanoplastics of the sizes now being counted actually cross the blood-brain barrier and the placental barrier in living humans at meaningful rates, the two most protected compartments in the body are confirmed as reachable, and the regulatory question becomes unavoidable. Watch for all three. The instruments that produce them are already being shared between laboratories.
It is worth saying what this article has not claimed. It has not claimed that plastic in your body is proven to be harming you. The strongest human evidence is associational, and this article has labeled it that way throughout. It has not claimed the new method found more plastic than expected. It found the fraction that was always expected to be there and never countable, which is a different and more precise claim. It has not claimed the old studies were wrong. They measured what their instruments could see, accurately, and their findings stand. They are simply revealed now as partial views of a larger whole.
And it has not claimed there is anything you can usefully do about it as an individual. The sources of nanoplastic exposure are the water, the food chain, the air, and the entire material substrate of modern life. And no personal habit addresses that scale.
which returns to the number from the laboratory notebook, 0.4 micrometers. Science advances in two rhythms, the rhythm of discovery, which finds new things, and the rhythm of instrumentation, which finds that the old things were bigger than we thought. The microplastic story has been living in the first rhythm, and it has just moved into the second. The plastic was always there, in the blood and the placenta and the brain, at sizes no instrument could resolve, counted by no study, regulated by no agency, feared only in the abstract. Now, it can be seen. What the seeing will teach us about the last 30 years of the plastic century, and what it will oblige us to do about the next 30 years, is the question the new maps will answer, one cleared tissue sample at a time.
At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations. Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.